right, we're back in session on 5.1. Keith, if you could introduce, that would be great.
My pleasure. And I'll be brief in the introduction so that our guests can get into their presentation. Governor Kulongowski, at the request of Governor Kulongowski, a commission was created to look at the issue of autism. And it was autism not only in education, but across all areas, not only education, healthcare, insurance issues, all services that would impact autistic children and their families. The commission has been meeting, looking at all of the different services. They've made their recommendation back to Kulongowski before he left office, and it was also a report and recommendation that was presented to the legislature. And we invited the guest here today from the commission to introduce themselves to our commission. There are some recommendations in that report that would be of interest to this commission. So with that, I'll turn it over to our guest. And if you could introduce yourselves and things and then move on, that would be perfect.
Thank you. I'm Marilyn Gentz, and I'm the chair of the commission. When we'll
I am Susan Garland. I am a commission member. I represent local education, and my position is special education director with Dallas School District.
Hi, I'm Mickey Pardue. I'm on the commission and represent higher education. I'm a special ed professor at Western Oregon University.
Hello, I'm Laura LaMarche, and I am on the Subcommittee for Educational Endorsement, and I'm administrator at Northwest Regional ESD for Autism Services.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Annette Skarangooch, and I work with the regional programs. I support students birth to 21, so up through school age, and I'm a commission member. I work on the Subcommittee for Education Redesign.
Thank you. We'll try to be brief. As Keith said, we have a report that's gone to the governor. And so today we'd just like this first opportunity to talk to you a little bit about a recommendation, one of the recommendations in that report. And I believe that you got a copy of the complete report in your packet. It's electronic. Did they get that? Okay. So what Keith talked to you about and what we want to share is that this was a governor-appointed commission, so we're talking to you commission to commission. Our commission is a 13-member commission that includes local school district and the Oregon Department of Education, and we hope our Oregon Department of Education representative will be here. She had another meeting. We had 8 subcommittees, one of which is focused on licensure issues. That's been an issue in Oregon for a long time. It's been an issue that was brought before this commission in the past. We're coming with a different focus, a look at capacity building, and I think, as Keith pointed out, from a bigger perspective and support from a lot more entities as we approach this. So, the subcommittees, you can see there, what we're focusing on is a subcommittee called Educational Endorsement and Competency-Based Assessment. We've been working as a commission for over a year and a half, and so it's kind of changed from endorsement to what we're going to call a continuing teacher license. And that comes with, we had a brief discussion with Vicki, and then she was kind enough to let Keith, I don't know if he thinks it was as kind as we do, she was kind enough to let him participate in our Educational Endorsement and Competency-Based Assessment Subcommittee to help us sort out the path that we could consider going down for the future. Now, the participants in this subcommittee represented local district administration, both urban and rural, and I think that's important because we have to look across the state in terms of what we anticipate for the future. We also have university personnel represented, autism specialist, speech language pathologist, a school psychologist. Those people, and they represent urban, rural, a variety of issues. So we try to be representative of the state of Oregon. In the process of going through our recommendations and the whole process that we've been through, we've shared at COSA conferences sponsored by ODE. We've done an electronic survey. We've conducted public forums. We've spoken to our regional programs, to our ESD special ed providers, and briefly to OEA and OSBA. It doesn't mean the conversations are finished, but we have been apprising them of the direction that we want to go throughout this process. And I will tell you at this point in time, in our feedback that we have received, we haven't had anyone who said that's really a bad idea. We're on a better path, and so that's what we want to discuss with you. Our goal in doing all this, as you know, you look to the future and you look to the reset in Oregon in terms of our economy, in general, on our economy toward education, we're looking at a reset. And so we're trying to look at a growing population of kids and how can we build capacity and be efficient at the same time? And this is our effort to do this from a licensure perspective. What we are recommending is what we call the ASD, Autism Spectrum Disorder Continuing Teacher License, which would be competency-based. And there are two sets of approaches that we've used in beginning to look at this. We've looked at the evidence that's now available in across the country, and the two documents are listed there, of best practice evidence in order to deliver effective services for individuals with autism. And then we've looked at another three sets of competencies based on what you need to deliver in terms of best practice. And so in our guidelines, you will see a need has developed, and it's very complex. Autism is a complex disorder, and these are, based on evidence across the country, the key components that an autism specialist and an autism program needs to be able to deliver. So it's very complex, and there's a reason that we need a specialty license in order to help local districts, and we're really working to build capacity for local districts to deliver effective programs. And I won't take the time, I'll be happy to answer questions, but there's a lot of needs. Identification, assessment, program development and implementation. There's at least 18 evidence-based intervention strategies that are very different if you're dealing with a 2-year-old as opposed to a 17-year-old. And you have to have people who are skilled at those particular areas in order to prepare other people to deliver that intervention. The other thing that we wanted to share was the concept of, in addition to what every educator needs to deliver to kids, the core curriculum, English, language, arts, math, health, all of those areas, there's documented in research another set of competencies that we're calling the expanded core curriculum, which includes communication development, social development, and on down the list that have been documented. Those are skills that learners need to be specifically taught in addition to the core curriculum. And in order to have the skills to do that specific to autism, we believe it points to a continuing teacher license that is a specialist, and I'll show you in a second, that is training and coaching local capacity. It's for local capacity. So they're training and coaching general education teachers. They're training and coaching special ed teachers. They're training and coaching instructional assistants. They're training and coaching parents. They're training and coaching administrators to deliver that expanded core curriculum and the core in addition to that core curriculum. So they need a very specific set of skills. I don't know if you could see this, but I'm hoping that on your documents that you have this document. And so what we are looking at is that we would have a set of ASD licensed specialists, and they would work with local program coaches. They could also be local program people that would help by providing identification, assessment, program development, setup of a program, and follow-up. They would not be the ones providing direct instruction for capacity-building purposes. These are highly trained people who know the evidence-based practices and can teach others for fidelity of implementation. And just, you probably can't read this, but we're looking at a subset. There would be licensed specialists, and they would be, that license, continuing license, would be a continuing license for special education and early childhood special education at this point. It would be a license that could be added to that. It would be very specific to autism spectrum because of the complex needs. And then we would have competencies for identification specialists and other people, but we're first looking to dialogue with teacher standards and practice about the licensed specialists, that first broader scope of people. So as you think about this, and we know this is a big task, we'll come back at any point in time, we will talk to you, we'll provide you any information, that as we've made this recommendation as part of the Commission on Autism, that our licensure would be linked to specific competencies, competencies that are proven in research, that the university training programs would also provide their training linked to those competencies. The big piece that people have told us in the field is that there needs to be multiple pathways for demonstrating those competencies, that you wouldn't necessarily just go to a university program, but you could demonstrate those competencies in different ways and then be approved through the university program going to TSPC, and then that there would be a transition period for implementation. If you're talking to parents, they want it sooner than later, but we also understand that it takes time to build capacity, and so we could establish the rules or whatever is needed, but there, until it was fully implemented, there would be a transition period. So we're just here today to just bring the idea forth to you, talk to you, answer any questions you have, and think about next steps.
What do you see as the need right now?
Can you ask that in an...
In the current school settings, what is the capacity need, and how much are we short? Or
yeah, that's a great question. What's happened is the way we're envisioning this licensure and this specialist, there's a redesign subcommittee, and so their role would be a little bit different. Right now, what happens is we have, what, about 100 or maybe 150 autism specialists. If we redesign that so that they're not dependent on caseloads, but they're doing what we say, training and coaching, we haven't quite figured that out, but that would probably be an adequate place to start. So we're not talking about multiple new people. We're talking about licensing and training those people who sometimes don't have the skills, sometimes do, doing that kind of position. So it's a little bit of a trade-off if it's not a perfect match, if that answered your question.
If I may, there's really about three or four policy issues that the work of this commission has talked about that has an impact on this commission. And I'll just talk loud. One is the model that they're proposing is a little different than what was presented in the past to the commission. And the model really is around, it's more of a coach, a team leader, or a teacher leader. And the however it's structured from an endorsement or license, the underlying requirement is that you would have to have an initial license in special ed to begin with. And then this would be an add-on program to that initial special ed. Generally, the autism specialist would be at an ESD level or a large district. They wouldn't provide direct services. They would provide coaching, supports, much like you would see as a teacher leader. And that sort of endorsement license is something I think is unique from our licensing structure that we currently have. And that's generally the difference between what was presented previously to the commission a couple years ago, which was really an endorsement for direct service providers. This would be more of a teacher leader sort of position, not necessarily a direct service provider. They would work with the special ed folks. They would work with others in the district providing the direct service. So it's a, how do you structure it, a license? Is it a continuing license? Is it an add-on endorsement? So that's one policy, but understanding the structure, I think, is helpful there. The second policy is of course, you would have approved programs, but also in the proposal is an alternative route based on an evaluation of competencies that folks would have that they would also be able to gain then that endorsement license, however that's defined. And who would do that evaluation? Would it be the commission, the Autism Commission, and a subgroup of that? Or, and so that's a policy question that would come forward. So you've got the design based on the model that's being proposed, but then you also have the program and the alternative route.
I think that the other piece that I didn't explain clearly is that they have to have expertise in teaching and training adults, which is a little bit different. And I'm blanking on the other thing I thought of, so experience. So thank you. So one of the policy considerations is that we believe that an autism specialist that we're talking about in this model needs experience. So it's not a person coming out of a training program, a pre-service program, and immediately being a continuing autism specialist. They need experience working with the population before then providing that training and coaching. So that's different than the approach that we took before also, if you were involved in any of that.
So do you foresee the people that are already trained, already working in the field, they will have to have training? And how much training are you talking about? I understand that there's consideration of experience and their position at the time, but how much further training are they going to have in order to achieve this licensing?
I think that will vary from person to person, but we believe that most of the people who are assuming that role right now would meet these competencies because we've been using a set of competencies informally for 20 years. We're adding to that. They may, it's like not everyone can teach adults. They're better at teaching kids, so there will be people that would be making some decisions about that. But all in all, I think we believe that most of those people would be able to demonstrate that competency. And in our recommendations, we talk about that they would have a period of time to demonstrate those. So it's not tomorrow. We would plan sufficiently for that.